Words mean little today. Someone can say they are going to do something, but it doesn't really mean much today. Wishy-washiness abounds in people today. Fickle Christians is a description of the day. We're on fire during revival services for a week, and then a couple weeks later, lukewarmness sets back in. And we're back to our normal lukewarm ways. Sticking to something, staying at something, is harder and harder to find in people today. People's interests are changing all the time. Today there's an overriding character flaw among Christians, and it is the character flaw of being impulsive. Unsteady, untrue, flighty. Those kind of people get nothing accomplished for God. The people that get something accomplished for God are, maybe for a lack of a better term, plotters. They just stay at something. Stay at it. Impulsive decisions take us off track. They are the opposite of being steadfast and unmovable. To be impulsive means to do something or tend to do something suddenly and without careful thought. Christians are quick to make decisions on emotion or because a situation in their minds has turned desperate. Impulsive decisions cause us to always look for something better, brighter, more exciting, something that stimulates us, something more challenging, something new. That's America today. Impulsiveness makes us double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In fact, Jacob called his sons together and spoke of one of his sons, Reuben, and described him as this, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel because of your lack of stability. When this problem is in a Christian, he is one who is following with his eyes and not with faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In our text of Scripture tonight, in the book of Isaiah, we believe that Jesus Christ Himself is speaking these words. He talks about His hair being pulled from His face. This is speaking of His death and some of the suffering that He experienced. But the Bible says of Him, there's a phrase in that passage of Scripture that I want you to see tonight. And that phrase is, therefore have I set my face like a flint. That is, He set His face like a flint to finish the work on the cross on your behalf and on my behalf. Someone who is surrendered to God and going into the ministry and then forgets all about it and is after another pursuit like that. Again, we're talking about double-mindedness. We're talking about somebody that's on the shift all the time, direction shifting all the time. A wavering Christian is a Christian with little stability. And little stability reveals little direction from God. ADD Christians are those who hop from one church to another, who hop from one idea to the next, one job to another, one pursuit to another, and the list can go on and on. The whole Christian life is about hopping from one thing to another all the time. Tonight I'm preaching a message entitled, Stay on Track. Stay on Track. I want you to first look at the example of Christ tonight, our blessed Savior who had His eyes fixed on His end and pursued it with resolve. Upon all occasions, against all temptations and opposition, Jesus Christ set His face like a flint to go to the cross on your behalf and on my behalf. The expression of the word flint means that which is firm, that which is not distracted, that which is somebody's determined on or resolute to make that sure that that gets done. This is what the Bible speaks about Christ. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. We know that this is the case because the things that happen in verse number 6 are specific to our Lord Jesus. He gave His back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting as they spat upon His face. This is the declaration of Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I have set my face like a flint. in the New Testament, there's another passage that correlates with this passage. It's found in the book of Luke. I want you to turn there, Luke chapter 9, and look at verse number 51. The time is getting closer by the time we get to Luke chapter 9 of the cross. It's one thing to say, I'm going to do this, but the closer you get to something that's difficult that you have to do, the harder it is to follow through with it. The reality begins to set in that indeed this is going to happen. And in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 51, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The fact is that our Master, even from eternity, resolved to save people through His blood, and that nothing was going to keep Him from accomplishing that. I want you to look in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 4 and verse number 34. While you're turning there, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." There was a purpose. There was a destination. There was an end reason for why He came to earth, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. But part of that would require His sacrificial death. In John chapter 4, verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." There's no doubt that Jesus came to earth, but that there would be numbers of things that would test His face being set like a flint, that would test His resolve, that would test His determination to die on the cross. In Matthew 20, verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." In Luke chapter 12, verse number 50, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished." What Jesus had to do, He was in pain until He accomplished that work. In fact, that's what the word "straitened" means there. He was troubled until that work was finished that He came to earth to do. He felt bound. He felt hampered until He could finish the work. And becoming like Christ, we too ought to set our face like a flint to accomplish what He has called us to do. Can I make some application tonight as we look at the example of Christ? Parents, set your face as a flint. Set your course with determination and resolve to raise your children for God. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6 says this, "Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it." We are to train. If you have children, the minute that you brought children into the world, you took on a God-given responsibility. And that God-given responsibility was to be a steward of those children and train them up in the ways of God. And train them up in the knowledge of God and His Word. There's nothing easy about this work. Truth of the matter is, it's tedious. It requires constant watchfulness. It requires contact with God. It requires being able to see your children's faults and not turning a deaf ear when someone shares a concern about your children. Those are difficult days, my friend, but they are days that you'll face as a parent. There are pulls everywhere to take you off this track. But I want to challenge our parents tonight. Set your face like a flint to get that work done. Distractions abound. Other things to pour your time into are always there. The culture says, let them decide for themselves. Let them make their own choices. Don't force anything upon them. But God says, train. God says, raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God says, wake up every morning with a cause in your life, parents. And that cause is to raise your children for God. Every day, wake up with that purpose. Wake up with the purpose to pray for them, to love them, and to live a constant godly example before them, and to teach them verbally, and to prepare them for the next turns in their lives. Listen, we're called to that as parents. We better set our face to it like a flint. Church members, set your face like a flint to stay in, be faithful, and be involved in your local church. The Bible says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." You know, this idea of being in a church is not a light idea, especially when God's hand's involved in it. The Bible says that God sets us in a local church. Now, in the New Testament, when do you find people leaving a local church? To go and plant another one? To go as a missionary? But God sets us in the body, the local church. May I remind you tonight that the grass is not always greener on the other side. It's not always greener everywhere else. The Lord sets the members in the body. If the Lord set you here, stay put. For 20 years, God's put me here. Has it always been roses? No. Has it always been roses for you? No. But God put me here. I'm to be here. Don't get restless. Forge ahead. Find your function. Love the brethren. Be faithful. Work through troubles. And stay. Set your face like a flint to stay involved and faithful in your local church. Set your face as a flint to be a gospel witness. Stay on track on that course. Recommit yourself to daily focus on souls. Are you resolved, brethren, that being a Christian, you will spread the good news of the gospel? Is that a resolve in your life at all? Is it something you're committed to? Is it something you're determined to do? You're going to make sure that this thing is a part of my life. I'm going to be a witness for the Lord. How can a dumb tongue glorify Him? How can you expect to win others to Him if you never speak about Him? If this is a cross, something difficult for you to bear, then resolve that you will take it up and carry it bravely for Christ. Set your face as a flint to accomplish God's will. We're talking about following the example of the Savior tonight. You know, we talk about Him being loving, and we need to imitate Christ in His love. We talk about Him being holy and merciful. All the different things about Christ. But I want you to know, as I get into the example of Christ tonight, you're going to find that one of the ways that we can imitate Him is to set our face as a flint. And that is required to do the will of God. It was required for our Savior. It's required for us. If the Lord's working in your heart and leading you in the direction of serving Him in full-time ministry or being a preacher, or you feel like you need to go away and get training, then set your face like a flint in that direction. Don't be going back and forth on it, teeter-tottering, wavering back and forth on things. Listen, if God's led you in a direction, then get on that course and stay on that track. That's important for your life. Get the training. Go to Bible college. Yes, it's going to cost money. Yes, there's going to be hard times. Yes, there will be difficult days and setbacks and obstacles and potholes in the course, on the track. But stay the course. My, oh my, we don't need wishy-washiness when it comes to decisions that Christ would lead us into. Stay on those things. If He's leading you, stay on that track. If God's put some things on your heart, then stay the course. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get distracted by a job opportunity or another opportunity. Don't lose focus. Stay the course. Stay on track. Set your face on that target and keep it there. Set your face like a flint in your local church ministry. Stay at it. Stay prepared. Be in your place. It's where God placed you. Set your face as a flint to be holy and stand on the side of God's holiness. Young people, set your face like a flint to be a godly Christian so that you can be the right one for someone else when it's time to get married. Work on being the right one. Work on developing the inner character. Work on developing the virtues in 2 Peter chapter 1, adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance kindness and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and all those things. Work on those things. Be the right person. Say, Lord, my heartbeat is to be married to someone that I can team up with and live our lives to serve You and do it right. Set your face as a flint down that course. Stay on it. You need to be the right one in a marriage. Set your face like a flint to pursue purity in your mind and in your appearance and in your body, young people. Set your face like a flint on that front. I'm not going to give an inch. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to move standards. I'm going to keep my life pure. I'm going to make sure that those things are in place. Wednesday night, I'm going to be talking about the details of all that. But set your face as a flint on that front. Say, by God's grace, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to follow biblical counsel. I'm going to follow biblical principle in my life. Set your face to stay with the right crowd, to be with the right crowd, to hold up the Word of God every day in your living. Stay on track regarding doctrine and separation in your life. Set your face as a flint. I want you to see the example of Christ, but I want you to see the effort to sidetrack Him and the effort to sidetrack you. Your determination, your resolve, your steadfastness to do anything for God or be anything for God will always be tested. It will always be tested. Every adult here, it will always be tested. Our Lord was tempted by a number of things. The populace wanted to take Him by force and make Him a king. He was at times so popular among the multitudes that the Pharisees did not dare to take Him, for they feared the people. When He rode through the streets of Jerusalem in triumph, it appeared as if all the inhabitants of the city were, for a while at least, on His side. Yet many a man possessed by a high resolve has been turned aside from his purpose by the decoration of earthly honor. That was there for Christ. He could have jumped on that. And if he would have jumped off the track and been on the wrong track. He could have been honored as king by many in that day. His steadfast purpose was tried next by the persuasion of his friends. It's very dangerous, Lord Jesus. And remember, Satan was angry when he said he was going to go to the cross and be crucified. And Peter wanted to intervene in that situation. No, you're not going to Jerusalem. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things which be of heaven, but the things which be of earth. He recognized the hand of Satan in Peter's temptation. And so he came out and verbally called Peter Satan. His resolve was to come to seek and to save that which was lost. But the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. He came to seek and to save those that were his people. He's a man from Galilee, but they resisted, they rejected him. He could have said, done with this. But he did not. Look at Christ's 12 apostles when he was ready to die. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. Where were the rest of the 12 when the experience of the cross took place? The Bible says they all fled. And if it were you or me, maybe we would have been asking ourselves the question, is this kind of people really worth such a sacrifice that I'm going to make? That they can't show up at my death? That not one of them are here. I came to my own. My own received me not. Now my inner circle. Now those closest to me. Those that I've invested the most time in. And they're nowhere to be found. This is worthless. Wouldn't have it at least been a passing thought to you? On that day. Yet, he kept his face set as a flint. There were others of mankind who he came to die for. And in the streets of Jerusalem, they were shouting, crucify him! Crucify him!
these are the people that he's going to give his life for?
But all these things were comparatively small trials to the great trial of the bitterness that he tasted as he went to the cross. The sweat drops that poured from his brow. The Gethsemane, just the night or two before, when reality was setting in that indeed he was going to die. His soul was sorrowful even unto death, the Bible says. He resorted to prayer. Came to find his disciples sleeping as he was praying. Then all of the things that he faced upon the cross. The Bible says his beard being plucked from his cheeks here. The shame, the spitting that he faced. His back being smitten. And we hear the song, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he kept his face like a flint to finish the will of God. If anything could have broken our Savior's resolution, maybe it was the separation of the Father where he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And since the separation from his Father that he had never experienced in all eternity until that moment. And yet, he kept his face set as a flint on the cross. This is what our Savior went through. And I think we could argue accurately from the Scriptures tonight. He stayed the course. There were all kinds of pulls, my friend, in every direction. From all kinds of groups and people and feelings. And the reality and looking to something ahead that was miserable to look ahead to. Yet, our Lord set his face as a flint. You say, preacher, how did he get there? How did he keep his face like that? Turn back to Isaiah chapter 50. 2 points of encouragement here. Do you see the words therefore in verse number 7 of Isaiah chapter 50? There are two times the word therefore occurs in the verse. And the first time, he says it after, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. And then he says, therefore I have set my face like a flint. Both of those therefores are pointing back to the first phrase, for the Lord God will help me. One of the reasons why he was able to set his face like a flint was his confidence that the Lord would help him. Brethren, in the decisions of life and in the spiritual part of our lives, we need the Lord's help. We are very, very easy people to waver and wonder. In fact, we're prone to wonder. That means what? That means I'm prone to get off the right track. I'm prone to make a decision for Christ and fall away from it. By the way, that shouldn't keep you from making decisions for Christ. That's a devil's lie. Don't try that again. Hey, don't go down that road again. You've already been down that road and you failed at it, and it's going to just happen again and again in your life. That's not God's voice. God's voice says, hey, you fell in that area. You made a decision. You didn't keep it. Hey, come back to me. Renew that commitment before me. Renew that step. Renew that decision. Renew that choice in your life. I will help you. Encouragement from the Scripture tonight in staying on track and setting your face as a flint is the encouragement that we have God's help. Jesus said, for the Lord God will help me. Look at verse number 9. What do we find again? Behold, the Lord God will help me. Now watch this. Anything that you're going to do for the Lord, you're going to need God's help in.
God never meant for us to accomplish it on our own or in our own strength or in our own wisdom or in our own knowledge or experience. All that we're going to accomplish for the Lord needs the Lord's help, needs the Lord's hand up on us. Jesus, 2 times in 3 verses, speaks about the Lord will help me. If you're going to set your face like a flint in some area of your life, then you're going to have to rely and go back to the promise over and over again that, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Because what happens? We get weak, do we not? We can be strong spiritually today and next Sunday be torn apart, ready to throw in the towel. Things this week will change. And we'll go on low strength. We must have the Lord's help. Secondly, there was joy in the accomplishment of it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. What's going to help me set my face as a flint, preacher? Number one, you got to go back and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm wavering. Lord, I have my face set as a flint in devotions. And Lord, it's not where it should be right now. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you to bring me back to that. Lord, I used to pray for my kids on a daily basis. Lord, that's not happening. Lord, you said you would help me. Lord, I've lost focus on some matters that are important to you. Lord, you need to help me to keep my face set like a flint. Joy and accomplishment. In Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, verse number 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How could he do it, preacher? How could he keep his face set like a flint? Because there was a joy in what he would accomplish for his Father. There was a joy that he would make a way for all of mankind to be vindicated of sin. There was joy that would satisfy the justice of God once and for all. There was joy that he would destroy the works of the devil. There was joy that there would now be a remedy, a permanent remedy for sin. Not a yearly sacrifice, but a permanent remedy for sin. And when he looked at, when I'm on the other side of this, oh, the joys that I'll experience forever, having accomplished what God wanted me to accomplish. Brethren, oftentimes the track of the Christian, for some reason we get a perspective of, well, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to do that. I have to live this narrow life. Becomes duty, almost misery. Watch this. Not thinking of the joy at the end. When you stand before the Savior, and if He would pronounce those words to you or me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, do you know the joy that that would bring someday on the other side of things in heaven? Listen, keep your face set like a flint, because there are some joys on the other side that you're going to experience if you'll stay the course on this side. If you'll be faithful on this side. If you'll set your face like a flint to get some things done for God's glory according to God's word on this side of things. Set your face like a flint to build your marriage relationship. To love one another. To have it become better. To see it improve. To be more of a spirit-filled man in your marriage relationship or a spirit-filled woman in your marriage relationship. Couples, set your course that way. Say, preacher, it's really hard right now. That's all right. Keep your face set like a flint. I'm going to glorify God in my marriage. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm not going to return evil for good. I'm going to love that individual. I'm going to work at that. I'm going to pray for my mate more often. I'm going to commend my mate more often. I'm going to put more good into my marriage than bad. I'm going to set my face as a flint that I'm going to be the right kind of marriage partner. I'm going to set my face like a flint so that my kids grow up and say, you know what? I want a marriage like mommy and daddy's. I want to get married because mommy and daddy have a good marriage. Set your face like a flint on that matter. Grandparents, set your face like a flint to pray for your grandchildren. I mean every day. I mean multiple times throughout the day. Pray protection around them. Put the right things into them when you have them around you. Set your face like a flint that if it comes down to me, I'm going to do everything I can for my grandchildren to grow up and serve God. I'm going to set my face as a flint. If you're in the twilight years of your life, and some of you are here, set your face as a flint to finish your course with joy. Not just finish it, but finish it with joy. Brethren, there are fickle and flighty Christians today. But may I announce to you from the Scriptures, Jesus was not fickle and He wasn't flighty. Jesus was resolved. This is what I came to earth to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is why I came. I came to seek and to save. I came to give my life a ransom for many. I came to finish the work that the Father sent me to do. And there may be all kinds of pulls on your life tonight. Pulls to just pull you off one way or another. To give in and give up on a dream that you had, a godly dream, a godly vision in years past. And today that dream might seem a little bit far out. It might seem nearly impossible. But I say, set your face like a flint. Church, you know what you do when you do that? You breed others to do the same thing. Jesus set forth that example, watch this, that we should follow in His what? In His steps. Staying on track means steps, does it not? It's steps. Life is a course. It has steps. He never took a step off the right direction. He always took a step in the right direction. He kept the faith. He stayed the course. He set His face like a flint. What have you been tempted to give up on? What have you been tempted to depart from? What part of the Christian life has become tough? You know, in tight times, tithing becomes a tough thing. Can be. Set your face like a flint. You know what? I'm going to honor God with my first fruits no matter what. No matter what's coming in, no matter the bills that are coming. You know what? God wants me to honor Him. And brethren, if we will maintain a resolve, I believe that God will help us to stay the course. Stay on track. Daniel speaks of a time in his life where he was without strength in Daniel chapter 10. In fact, the Bible says, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Daniel, one of the men in the Bible that we hardly find anything negative about. But there was a time that he was on the right course, that there was no strength in him. The Bible says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Tonight's message is for the purpose of strengthening this group of believers. What is it that you need to set your face as a flint towards? That is, you know God's placed something in your heart. You go back and you remember a decision. You remember God's leading in your life on something. But you're not as strong on it today. What caused you to leave it? When you go back and you think about that, what caused you to give it up? What caused you to become weak, wavering? Was it God? Was it the Holy Spirit? Here's what I'm going to advise this evening. If there's something specific that God wants you to set your face as a flint on. And by the way, I think it needs to be specific. I don't think God's talking in generalities about us setting our face as a flint to just live the Christian life. I believe that the Spirit of God would put something specific on our hearts that we need to set our face as a flint on, that we need to become more determined on, that we need to be resolved on, that we don't need to be weak on, we need to be strong on, we need to be committed to. Then I want you to come to an altar tonight and I want you to make a commitment about resolve on that matter. Then I want you to write it in the front cover of your Bible. The date. God dealt with me about staying a course, a specific course in my life. And to have the same determination that Christ had, that I'm going to get there, I'm going to get there, of course with the Lord's help, of course with looking on joy on the backside of things. But I'm not going to be swayed away from it. I don't know what that area may be. It may be an area that I talked about tonight. It may not. But the encouragement from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What is a mature Christian? A mature Christian is not a flighty Christian. A mature Christian is a settled Christian. It's a focused Christian. It's a Christian that you're not going to budge him real easy. He's on a course. He's got some commitments. He's got some things that are priorities in his life. And he's going to stay on them. Christian, God's calling us to be like Jesus on this front.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.